What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome into the Lineup Logic Podcast. I am your faithful host for this MLB edition of Lineup Logic. Sean Cain here, bringing you lineup construction ideas for the DFS slate to come on FanDuel. And in the next hour, we will preview the main slate upcoming in Major League Baseball DFS. We'll talk matchups, we'll talk spreads, we'll talk weather situations, we'll talk pitching rotations, and then we'll break down some players to target on the slate upcoming. Before we do that, let's look back at yesterday. Kind of a rough day, to be honest with you. I mean, Joe and I broke down what we thought. I thought it was a great breakdown, Joe and I, and we just got shares of the offenses that were just brutal. Some brutal offensive performances last night from a couple teams, you know, namely the Red Sox. Just craziness. Hey, but a couple quick shout outs here. A couple guys who are NBA followers. Shout out to Gene, man. Gene, I'm so happy for you. Dude took down a tournament over there on DK, $12 entry. Came away with some massive cash. Gene, very happy for you, man. Great guy, listener, friend of the pod. You know, really happy to see that. As well as Bosox Brian. Also a huge number, put up 360 on FD last night and in NBA DFS. So just really happy to see these guys, good guys, taking down, you know, massive money last night. That was huge. And I know you guys aren't huge. I know you guys aren't huge, MLB DFS players, but feel free, jump on board. Hey, we've got a big, we've got a 7-gamer tonight. There's an all-day slate ahead here, but there's a 7-game slate, main slate tonight, and we're going to break that baby down. But before we do, let's go ahead and recap what happened yesterday. One of these nights. All right, so honestly, it was pretty absurd if you think about what happened yesterday. You know, Joe and I came on and we were, you know, we talked about some of the offenses that we wanted to target. We talked about Jay Bruce and we talked about Bryce Harper. we talked about, you know, some of those guys that we thought really had nice upside given their situations. But the reality was that if you paid for pitching last night, if you paid for Bumgarner, which we did, and Bumgarner, I mean, pitched a 2-run gem. I mean, only one earned run credited to him, 6 innings pitched. He only got 4 Ks, though, in that Kansas City matchup. So, Bumgarner, not the performance we wanted from Mad Bum. The Rays had a nice outing. The Rays stack was actually not bad if you stocked that top of that order, that 1-2-3. Worked out pretty nicely. Kiermaier and what's his name? And then on to Longo. Longo didn't go yard, but had a really nice game. 3 hits, 1 walk with 3 ribbies. You know, that Detroit-Tampa game ended up kind of shooting out and was good to have ownership of that game for sure. But we were also all over Cincinnati, but Ubaldo Jimenez went bananas against the Reds. I have no idea. You know, of course, then also Boston. We talked up Boston. They got blanked in the Rogers Center, which was insane. The Diamondbacks get blanked too. I mean, so 3 massive, three stack candidates that we were interested in yesterday just get completely blanked. And, you know, this is why... This is why MLB DFS is a GPP candidate. I mean, the reality is you had 10-run game in Chicago, in New York with the Yankees. You had an over 10 runs in Detroit and Tampa and Washington and Atlanta. So you know, W's went basically to people who had Yankee shares, Tiger shares, Rays shares, and Nats shares. So four teams that if you were on them, which, you know, we were interested in, and by the way, also the Houston played well also, or in the Mets, obviously Jay Bruce going yard twice. We talked about these guys. We brought them up. We said, you know, Jay Bruce in a really good situation. We talked about Bryce Harper. He owns Julio Teheran. It's lefty power park. It just, you couldn't play all of them if you were starting a stud. And that was the problem. It was a price restrictive situation. And if you wanted to get Bumgarner or Clayton Kershaw in there. So, you know, I think the lesson here, and we always try to talk about possible, you know, lessons learned in these situations is, you know, I think for GPP upside at times, we do have to try to take a little bit more of a chance and gain some salary relief at pitchers so that you can try and find a few more bats with upside, because that's the difference, right? If you don't have shares of these productive offenses, then you're dead in the water, especially in GPPs. Now, you know, obviously that's not always the cash game strategy. You pay for massive floor with your pitcher, but you know, we've been primarily talking about GPP strategy, and the GPP strategy that would have really suited you last night was to target, Tanaka, who had a really nice game, or to target Amir Garrett, who had a massive game. And, you know, I mean, the Amir Garrett thing is challenging because you're in a bad ballpark. He's a young pitcher. There's not a huge sample size for him, but he has been excellent lately. So you take that calculated risk and it pays off. That's a GPP upside for MLB. But, you know, hey, you pay for a guy like Mad Bum and you expect an excellent start, and he gives you a good real baseball start. But that's not necessarily always a good fantasy baseball start. So, you know, hey, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? It's a challenging thing. you know, and we got to move on to tonight, and let's break down the slate upcoming. Let's look at the games we have on tonight's slate. All right. Like I said, you got the all day slate, some nice games on the all day slate. Don't mind that one at all. But then the main slate begins with the Phillies at the Mets. Aaron Nola going up against Noah Syndergaard really should be a pitcher's duel here. Vegas says only 6.5 runs projected in this one. Wind blowing in at Citi Field ever so slightly. You know, you got a pitcher's park and two decent pitchers. Nola has been pretty solid this year. Not electric, but very solid. And obviously Thor has been pretty unbelievable. You know, his last start out was kind of so-so, just from a fantasy perspective. but it is Thor, and you do have a lot of upside as far as strikeouts go. I definitely like Syndergaard. I'm going to talk Syndergaard versus Strasburg tonight. And what we can see there. Orioles at Reds. This one, Vegas loves. 9 runs projected here. You've got two kind of terrible pitchers in the lefty Wade Miley taking on right-hander Scott Feldman here in Great American Ballpark. Wind blowing out to left field. So, you know, that's always really nice to see. You know, this game really disappointed last night, and the night before it was really nice, you know, if you had red shares, but last night, very disappointing, is just not the offenses that we wanted to see. Two home run hitting teams just kind of duds, dudded out here. So, you know, we can definitely go back to the well, and definitely, you know, I think you got to be persistent and, you know that those low run games aren't necessarily predictive of what's going to happen next. So we can definitely look at the Orioles and the Reds bats tonight. Nats at Braves, 7.5 runs projected here. You've got Strasburg going on the mound for the Nats, and R.A. Dickey, the knuckleballer, going up for Atlanta. Now, you know, the Nats went ham last night against Tehran in the bullpen of Atlanta, and those lefties just went berserk. So, you know, I think I would love to look at them again today. They are it's an expensive stack. And Dickey, as a knuckleballer, it's not quite as predictive as we would like. It's a little bit harder. We don't have a massive sample size of BVP. The only person on the Nats who has good BVP here is Jason Wirth, and Jason Wirth injured right now. So don't know if he's going to play. So, you know, the Nats stack is interesting because R.A. Dickey is, you know, hasn't shown a lot of power, but he hasn't really given up a lot. I don't really know how to approach this one, but Vegas says this is going to be a low run game, so maybe we look elsewhere. Kansas City at Texas, start of a new series here. The Royals going down to Arlington. Vegas likes this one a lot. 81 degrees, you know, wind blowing in Texas. But 81 degrees, real nice night down there in Arlington. 9 runs projected. We've got Danny Duffy on the hill for the Royals, and he is favored right now against the right-hander Andrew Cashner of the Rangers. So, you know, don't mind the Royals lefties, but I mean the Royals they keep getting these nice Vegas lines, and they just aren't producing. I don't know what it is. You know, it's so tempting to continue to go back to these lefties and Moustakas and Moss and stuff like that. They're just not really doing it. But Andrew Cashner is not a good pitcher this year and really struggling. So we do want some exposure, I think, to the Royals for sure. So, you know, that's about it for me. I think it's an interesting spot. But maybe, you know, I'm not going to get too much exposure to the Royals just because they haven't been very productive, to be honest with you. So, Cards at Brewers, 8 runs projected in this one. Carmo, the righty, going up against Zach Davies. Definitely like some one-offs in this game. Matt Carpenter, for example, and Eric Thames. I think those are the two lefties. You have two righties on the mound, two power-hitting lefties in the Cards and the Brewers, and the top three of their order. So I think those are where I'm going here. I don't know how much I love the stack, but I don't mind it. I just, the St. Louis bats really haven't been doing anything. It's kind of a challenge to figure out who's going to get it done for St. Louis tonight. And the Brewers against Carmo, high strikeout team, obviously we know they have a lot of upside. They just rocked Lackey, but, you know, Carmo is dealing this year. He has quite a few Ks and just went out and put up, I think it was 11 Ks against the, was it the Yankees? I believe it was. Put up a massive K number against the Yankees and put up a massive number against the Cubs, then exploded against Cincinnati. So I don't know what to see from Carmo tonight. Diamondbacks at Padres, good gracious. God, fucking Diamondbacks. Just killing me, man. You guys had a easy matchup last night versus Chacin and could not get anything done. They were rolling and they could not hit Chacin whatsoever. We've got two lefties on the mound, Patrick Corbin, Clayton Richard. Neither of these guys scare me. What scares me is this just kind of the cold offense right now. The Padres squeaked out a 1-0 victory last night. I mean, but they're the 30th ranked offense in baseball. They have some righties that I don't mind. I don't mind, you know, I don't mind Myers. I don't mind Renfro. But on the Diamondbacks side, they're priced up now. I don't mind Goldie and I don't mind Yasmani Tomas, but, expensive. And I don't mind AJ Pollock, but they are expensive. And, you know, the difficult part is, you know, how much production are you going to get in this park? Vegas doesn't like this game either. Seattle at Oakland, James Paxton. We'll talk about Paxton. Pretty hot right now, playing like a stud for the Mariners, the lefty. Going into Oakland here, getting Cesar Valdez, who is coming up from AAA ball. There is very limited data on Valdez, the righty. So I guess, are we stacking up the Mariners? I don't know. Mariners offense looking pretty solid these days. I don't mind it. You know, they're kind of hot and cold. But, man, they put up a lot of runs in that Miami game the other day. So, you know, definitely have some interest in Mariners tonight against the AAA Hurler. So that's it. That's our 7-game slate. Some interesting targets, some nice pitching on this slate for sure. Some really nice pitching on this slate. A lot of choices for arms that, gosh, you wish you had some of these choices, on other nights, but definitely a good night to get a quality pitcher in your lineup. All right. So with that said, let's go into the player breakdown and figure out who we love. Who do you love? All right. You know, obviously on the top of the slate here, we've got Thor and we've got Strasburg. So let's compare them. Let's figure out who we would rather roster. First, we've got Syndergaard. Syndergaard getting Philadelphia at home. He's currently got a K9 rate of 9.5, a whip below 1, a strikeout rate of 27%. The Phillies actually also are striking out at above 20%. To right-handed pitching, they have a WOBA of 295 and a very below average offense of 93 to WRC plus, and only hitting 159 ISO against righties. So you gotta like Strasburg in this you gotta like Syndergaard in this situation. You're just not scared of the lefties that the lefties that are offered for the Phillies. I mean, it's, we're talking about Odubel Herrera and Saunders. That's it. 63 degrees, cool day, wind blowing in at Citi Field. You compare that to Strasburg, who is getting, you know, a warm night in Atlanta, 80 degrees, wind is blowing out in Atlanta. And really, you know, Strasburg obviously has a good matchup, but he has two lefties in the top of that order that are hitting well in Inciarte and Freddie Freeman. So not completely thrilled about the situation for Strasburg. Obviously, Strasburg is totally elite, and there's a little bit of salary relief there over Syndergaard. But I think situationally, you compare them, I think Syndergaard is in the better spot here. You know, the question is the restrictive price. You have other nice options that are a little bit lower priced on this option, in this spot. I have no problem paying up for Syndergaard here. I think you know what you're going to get. I think you have a 40-45 plus outing here. It's just a question of roster construction for you. But for me, it's definitely Syndergaard over Strasburg tonight. I would much rather have Odubel Herrera be the biggest threat versus Freddie Freeman at home. I mean, that's kind of simple math, right? That's what we're thinking here. Simple math. And you add park factor there as well. You know, I mean, you've got a pitcher's park in Citi Field where wind is coming in and it's cold, and you've got what seems to be a decent hitter's park in SunTrust in really nice warm weather. So, you know, I'm going to side with Thor in this one, and I think it's a safe bet for a high quality performance from Syndergaard. Now, pivoting down in price, you have three really nice options in the 9K space. You have Danny Duffy at 9.4, you have Carmo at 9.3, and James Paxton at 9K. Now, to me, I'm narrowing it down to Duffy and Paxton. Now, Carlos Martinez obviously been great, but the Brewers are kind of unpredictable and their offense has been hot. I don't necessarily want There's a lot of K upside in the Brewers lineup. There really is. They swing hard, and they have, you know, they have a lot of righties. Ryan Braun is obviously against Carmo. That's not a situation that necessarily Ryan Braun is too scary. So I don't mind Carlos Martinez. The question is you're in a hitter's park indoor. These guys are at home, and we know they can light it up. So, I'm kind of, I'm not too hot on Carmo. So it gives me Danny Duffy and James Paxton. And it's interesting. These guys, the numbers are almost identical for these two guys right now. Duffy has Texas. He's going down to a Globe Life. He's got a 23% K rate, 10% walk rate, which isn't great. His control isn't there. A whip above one right now, 1.2. His ground ball rate has been decent. Hard hit rate has been decent as well, only 25% hard hit rate. Texas hitting 312 in the WOBA with a 20% strikeout rate against lefties. So, you know, don't mind that. Paxton going to Oakland, both of these guys on the road. Paxton has a 29% K rate now, 5% walk rate, a whip below one. He is way above average, really, really, really looking pretty elite this year. And a strikeout to walk ratio of 5-1. Really, really pitching well. Oakland, 324 WOBA, a little bit better than Texas right now against lefties. 19% strikeout rate against lefties. You know, but Paxton does have better ground ball rate right now, 36% ground ball rate to 23% and a 23% hard contact rate. So, you know, those numbers are good. You like all those numbers for Duffy and Paxton. I think they're really, really interesting. And interestingly enough, if you don't go to Fangraphs and read Fangraphs regularly, you really should. The freaking content is just unbelievable. These writers. There was two very good articles recently, one about hitter contact trends. There was Denny Duffy was in there, and the other one was just about Paxton himself and what he's doing this year. So the interesting one about Duffy was he's reduced his overall contact rate by 11% this year, which is pretty solid. I mean, reducing is just overall contact in general. You know, giving up some hard contact there, but 11% reduced contact is a nice, nice thing to see in a small sample size, but it's good. You know, the problem is his fly ball rate is up. He does have a fly ball rate of almost 40%. The one thing that I will also say though, that is in his favor, you counter that, Duffy's going to face a Rangers lineup that's not really hitting lefties that well. No Beltre in there, obviously, and that's really nice. You get no Adrian Beltre in the Rangers, and you feel good about that. You don't have to face Beltre. If it's Beltre, then maybe you back off. You know, the best powers against lefty, they have Napoli, Lucroy, Andrus, Gallo, those righties, you know. I mean, yes, Texas can get it going, but so can Danny Duffy. I don't necessarily think that there's a lot we can look at and say, oh, Texas is going to shred Duffy or Duffy's going to shred Texas there. It doesn't really seem too predictive here. And the thing that I think we have to pay attention to about Duffy's situation is this is a nice warm night in Texas. Okay. And Texas is a great hitter's park. We know top 10 in park factor for hitters. You know, and Vegas says this game is going to be a high scoring game. So, all right, let's take that information and kind of use it as a tiebreaker and maybe lean towards Paxton. You know, and Paxton is just elite right now. The same, you know, I said, I read an article about him. He is top five in ERA, XFIP and WOBA allowed, K to walk ratio. His numbers are ace. Like, it's really pretty unbelievable. There's two interpretations of this, you know, for James Paxton's 2017 season. It's either that there's regression coming and he's going to slow down and he's going to normalize and it's not going to be like this forever. And we're going to get back to, you know, kind of a little bit more mediocre James Paxton numbers. That's a very reasonable assumption, I think. That other way to see it is finally he's healthy and that he is pitching at the level and he's found pitches that he really likes. And because of the health and the way he's playing and, you know, the lineup, whatever, he's doing it. You know, he's got it right now. So I don't know. I tend to side with, you know, he's doing good work. Vegas likes this game okay, but Seattle is favored even on the road. I think you have park advantage in Oakland. It's a pitcher's park. It's going to be a cooler night. The problem that I see is you do have real power. You do have real righty versus lefty power in the Oakland lineup. I mean, Chris Davis and Ryan Healy are mashed left-handed pitching. You know, Woba's above 370 and ISO is both above 240. And Chris Davis is a 285 ISO against lefties. So, you know, you got to look at that and kind of wince, you know, okay, I'll start Paxton, but I do have to face Chris Davis three or four times. You know, Davis does swing. He swings hard and he can strike out. Don't get me wrong. Those power hitters in Oakland will strike out. You know, I think it's just a question of what happens if they get a hold of one of those. I don't know. You know, I think, and then you add, by the way, I kept going with the research here. Oakland and Texas are both currently 24 and 25 in total offense against left-handed pitching. Neither of them very good from a team production standpoint against lefties right now. By the way, guess who Paxton just spun an eight inning like shutout, and it was against Texas. You know, I don't know. Eight scoreless innings, only two hits and one walk against Texas. He went bananas. So Duffy has the same team, the same rotation of righty hitters. Could Duffy do the same thing? Yeah, maybe. I think the K upside probably goes to Paxton in this situation, plus the park upside. Plus he's $400 cheaper. So I think I'm going to lean with Paxton, but I also have no problem with Duffy. And I don't have a problem with Carmo, dude. Freaking 24 Ks and three starts. And one of those, he got blown up early and taken out. But anytime he's lasted more than five innings, he's getting himself nine plus Ks. So, you know, problem is then similar to Paxton is you got power. You got power in that Milwaukee lineup that you worry about, and you have a good park. So I don't think you have to play Carmo when you compare him to those other two guys. So I think Paxton comes out on top for me just as kind of the most interesting bat there. I think if you want to go high risk, high reward, I think you look at Aaron Nola pitching well for Philadelphia right now, you know, and the price is really nice. It's 7.9. You know, I mean, these 7K pitchers, you know, we had Severino on Tuesday night. Last night you had, the Cincinnati kid, Amir Garrett. You know, you've got these 7K pitchers. Now, Severino and Garrett are massive K upside. Aaron Nola is not that guy. He doesn't have, you know, massive K upside, but you've got a nice matchup in, you know, a good pitcher's park, you know, and Nola's playing well. I mean, he's pitched, you know, two games where he's gotten into the fifth inning. You know, he's allowed contact, but he is a ground ball guy, you know, and he's gotten himself six Ks as well. He hasn't allowed a lot of earned runs. You know, I think Nola is in a good position here, especially considering the way the Mets are playing against right-handed pitching. You know, they're really not that great. They have struggled. They're striking out at 23% rate. They only have a WOBA of 266 and WRC plus of 71. I mean, that's not an elite lineup against right-handed pitching. Now, the concern that you have there with Nola is you do have some lefties who could get hot. Jay Bruce. You know, I mean, Bruce hit hard last night. But I think Nola probably is, you know, has a little bit better stuff, here. He's got a K rate of 29%, 6-1, K to walk ratio, only four earned runs too this year. He is a ground ball pitcher. He's got a ground ball rate right now of 70%, to right-handed batters. So, you know, you got a lot of righties in there. You got a couple switch hitters as well. You know, only 15% fly ball rate to right-handed and 23% to lefties, which tells you this guy is getting the ball down and he is forcing these batters to reach for balls that are down in the zone and they're not getting contact. So, you know, I think Nola has a decent outing in him here. I think you're looking at 30 plus points. The problem is the, of course, if you get a hot Mets team, then all of a sudden, you know, you get a couple of these switch hitters that you're getting on base and Jay Bruce knocks one in and Nola, you know, is he going to be able to finish six innings and get a quality start here? And by the way, Nola is not favored in this situation. He's not going to get the win. Paxton of all those pitchers, Paxton and Duffy are both favored in their respective starts. So you like that. All right, let's move on to the sticks here. Let's talk about bats. We're gonna talk about, you know, a couple stack situations, then a couple little pairs or mini stacks that I like. I think the stud stack, the chalky stack tonight is going to be, it's going to be the O's, and we got to go back to the O's, guys. I mean, I don't think we can necessarily be scared off of them, even though they've kind of been meh in the last couple days. You know, this is it. This is the one, right? This is the one where the O's blow up here. We got to go back to them, right? They're opposing Scott Feldman. He's got a 2-1 K to walk ratio, a whip just at about 1.5, 3.48 opposing wOBA, 40% fly ball rate, only a 32% ground ball rate. He is struggling against right-handed bats and left-handed bats. So, you know, no problem going to the top of the order in Baltimore, which it's projected right now. Seth Smith, Adam Jones, Machado, Chris Davis, Mark Trumbo. That's 1-5. That said, Seth Smith has a hammy, so I don't know if we're going to see him. God, I wish we would, because you get a lefty batting in the one hole who's only 2.6, but I don't know if we'll see Seth Smith. Seth Smith feels like a lock and load if he's a go tonight, but don't know if he's going to go. So for me, I really like Chris Davis. I really like Trumbo in this situation, both batting three. Trumbo, 394 wOBA, 294 ISO against righties here. He's kind of a reverse splits guy. And then Chris Davis, of course, the lefty, 365 wOBA, 275 ISO. And then, you know, Manny Machado is right there as well. I think the problem that you have here is Machado is just expensive. You know, you compare him, I guess he's only 3.8 compared to Trumbo's 3.7, you know? So, okay. I could get behind Machado for sure. I just think there's also value at third base today. There's a couple spots for third base, like, Mike Moustakas, for example, is cheaper. Kyle Seager is cheaper. I like them and they're in good spots as well. So I think for me, it's Trumbo, Davis, you know, and I think you could even try to get some of these cheaper bats in here. Jonathan Shoup, JJ Hardy, you know, if they turn this lineup over a couple times on the road, then you're going to see a couple extra PAs for those cheap infielders. And, you know, the numbers aren't great for those guys. And I don't know why Hardy's projected in the 9 hole right now. I would love to see him move up, and maybe he does move up in this lineup, but we'll see. We'll see. If no Seth Smith, then maybe, you know, Soo Kim goes up to the leadoff. I'm not really sure. And actually that would be a really nice leadoff bat to have as well. Hyun Soo Kim, batting leadoff at 2-5. He's a lefty. He might get that one spot if Seth Smith can't go, which would be a great value bat in that Baltimore stack, you know? And I mean, hey, if your primary stack team, guys, you're going to want that leadoff hitter. I know that's not rocket science. Thanks, Sean. You want the one spot. I'm just saying, if you got a core stack, sometimes we get cute and we don't forget to, you know, we're targeting the core of the lineup, just the core of the lineup, but those one hitters always, always in play. I think the Cincinnati right-handers are also in play. Wade Miley's not a great pitcher, you know, and I think that, you know, we've got some nice right-handed bats who could get going here. Primarily for me, I think you look at guys like Duvall and Suarez who hit for power against righties, you know, not inexpensive, 3.7, 3.8 for Duvall and Suarez, but you know, Suarez is batting 394 with 270 ISO. Duvall, similarly, 350 wOBA with 260 ISO. So you like that power there as well. You know, and I think if you get, you could also even look like a guy like Zach Cozart. Now, Cozart isn't cheap and he's way down in the order. and he burned me last night, but he hits lefties very well also. So I have no problem. If you want to stack up the whole game, do it. If you want to just stack the Baltimore side, great. And if you want some Cincinnati mini stack there, maybe go with the righties in Cincinnati. You could go. I mean, if we get 4, 5, 6, Duval, Suarez, Cozart, that's a nice little core stack there, and they could get cooking. You know, this one could do some work. We've got wind out to left, so you know that's. That's nice. Great American Ballpark is little bitty ballpark. So, hey, let's go back. Let's not be afraid. Be not afraid of the Orioles. All right. Grout stack. We're moving on. A little bit of savings here, plus situation. I think it's Kansas City against Cashner. Cashner, the righty, is allowing 351 wOBA with an atrocious 16% K rate. He's got more walks than Ks this year, guys. He's never made it out of the third inning. He's just not getting it done, and he's got a hard contact rate of above 40%. Yeah. Let's go ahead and let's attack Cashner with these lefties in Kansas City. And for me, that primarily means we're looking at Mike Moustakas and Brandon Moss. You know, Hosmer just isn't really doing it right now. I just don't necessarily want to go there, you know. And at first base, I'm not going to pay for Hosmer when I can get Chris Davis in an even better situation. So I don't mind going up here. I think you've got a lot of lefties, 1 through 4. One through six. You've got Gordon, Moustakas, Hosmer, and Moss. All lefties going to see Cashner here in this spot. You know, specifically, I think we look at Moustakas, who has a 370 wOBA with a 292 ISO against left-handed pitching, and Moss, similarly, 346 wOBA with a 296 ISO there. So I think both of those guys are in play. Moss, nice and cheap at 2.7. Problem is, you know, he's first base eligible. So, you know, he's only eligible for first base. So what are you going to do? Are you going to go Moss or are you going to go Chris Davis? I think that's a challenging question for me. I love Chris Davis in this spot as well. And if you're going with the Orioles stack, then you're probably going to want Davis over Moss. The thing about that's nice about the Royals is the salary relief that they offer. You know, they're significantly less expensive than the Orioles. So if you want to do Strasburg, then I think you do a Royal stack, you know, but if you want to go down to Paxton, then maybe you can go with an Orioles stack. So either one in play for me. I think that they will garner high ownership because these pitchers are just bad. So maybe a little mix and match action there for sure, I think could be interesting. Now, a couple other viable pivots, a couple guys that we got to talk about, a couple things. I think the first one is Seattle. They're in a really interesting position. Valdez is a AAA pitcher. Last time he was in the bigs, it was 2010. You know, and in 2010, it was not great. He played 3 games. He had 2 losses there. He 20 innings pitched. 7.5 ERA, gave up 17 runs total. He is a ground ball pitcher, though, based on his recent numbers in AAA, ground ball rate almost above 50%. And he had a couple Ks as well in AAA. So, you know, I don't know necessarily what we're going to get from this Valdez character, but I think one of the things that maybe we can think about is the unknown may drive down ownership, and you have some really nice lefty bats in this lineup, obviously, for Seattle. You know, you've got Cano, you've got Dyson at the leadoff, you've got Cano, you've got Seager. You know, I think that's a nice little place. Maybe you get some ownership leverage. You know, I don't love the stadium, but I do love that the wind is blowing out there tonight. And I think I never mind Seattle because I think they're one of those teams that can really start cooking. And you know, if Haniger and Seager and Cano get going, then they just start stringing them together. And, You know, Haniger is still very cheap. Seager are a little bit more expensive than I like, but also Taylor Motter at the shortstop in the sixth hole there, I think very comparable to a guy like Zach Cozart. And, you know, the numbers are good for Seattle against righties. You know, they are specifically Cano, 399 wOBA with a 260 ISO. Kyle Seager, 390 wOBA with a 215 ISO. Haniger, 370 wOBA, 218 ISO. You know, I don't think you necessarily have to be scared about that. And if, you know, Jared Dyson gets on base, he's a stolen base candidate for sure. I have no idea how this Valdez guy holds on runners. I don't know. So I don't mind the Mariners. I think a little bit of exposure to the Mariners is warranted. I think you could also look at the Nats. Obviously, they're going up against Dickey. Dickey has a 1.8 whip, and he only has a 2-1 K to walk ratio this year. He's not striking people out. He's getting ground balls, and he's getting hits, and he's getting good defense behind him. He's got a huge wOBA, though, you know, over 320. So, you know, the problem is it's hard to kind of, I think it's very difficult to feel predictive about a non-traditional pitcher like a knuckleballer. I think you could go with the lefties here, Eaton, Murphy, obviously Harper, and Zimmerman has nice numbers against righties as well. The problem that I have with the Nats is they're just their cost. I think they're very expensive, and you feel like it's a calculated risk going up against Dickey just because you're not completely sure. And when you look at BVP against him, the only person who has a decent sample size is Jason Worth, and he does well, but Jason Worth, we know, injured, possibly not playing in the lineup today. You know, Adam Eaton also has decent numbers against him, so I don't mind Eaton and Murphy, and I think Zimmerman is really cheap, so you could go with those three guys. Bryce doesn't have great BVP against Dickey in this situation, so, you know, are you going to pay 4.7 for a guy who he's hot, but it's not a traditional pitcher, and it's not a situation that you feel really, really perfect about? It's not like, oh, last night, for example, when, of course, I knew that Bryce Harper was going to smoke Tehran, and he didn't make it in my lineup because I wanted to pay for pitching. And you can't play Kurt and Kershaw and Bryce Harper in the same lineup. I mean, you could have, but you would have been punting everything. You would have been, you know, playing the 7, 8, 9 batters in San Diego. Anyway, all right. They're in play. Now, I'm going to say something that it might make people throw up and you may just turn off the show or fast forward. But I also think that we can look at the Arizona-San Diego game again. Patrick Corbin, Clayton Richard, two lefties here, okay? Clayton Richard, terrible ERA right now. Five, whip above 1.5. He's not allowing a ton of fly balls. Ground ball pitcher right now. And I know Arizona burned us. And I know they don't exactly have great power numbers against anybody. But I think that you can look at Goldie and Yasmani Tomas. Tomas actually does have great numbers against left-handed pitching. And he sat out last night, probably in order to get him ready and rested for this matchup tonight. I think Yasmani Tomas, one of my favorite one-offs, and obviously Paul Goldschmidt is a great batter. He's just expensive, you know, and if you have a first baseman at 4-4, when you know that you could easily get Chris Davis at 3-5, or even Brandon Moss at 2-7, then I don't think you have to force Goldschmidt in there. But I think, you know, maybe a little AJ Pollock, maybe a little Yasmani Tomas. They're not in bad situations, but we'll see what the lineup looks like tonight for the Diamondbacks. I don't know. You know, you also have Chris Iannetta. Chris Iannetta is a cheap catcher option. He's a righty, you know, and he doesn't necessarily hit extremely well, but if you get him up in that order, then, you know, Chris Iannetta isn't the worst. 350 wOBA, 150 ISO. So, you know, that's a cheap catcher option if he bumps up in that lineup just a touch. But if he is right next to Corbin, then I'm not touching him. You know, I don't necessarily want to do an eight spot, eight hole anyway, and especially an eight hole right next to the pitcher. They're going to pitch right around him to get to Corbin, which is obnoxious. Anyway, so Arizona in play, not my favorite. I don't think you have to have them, but Yasmani Tomas is, you know, reasonably priced at 3-4. I think you also have a couple interesting lone wolf single one-off candidates here in this spot. You know, I think Will Myers is an interesting one. I think Will Myers is, you know, he is a lefty, or excuse me, a righty with power. We know that. There's a couple righties that I don't mind in the San Diego lineup. I just, based on what Vegas is telling me, based on the park, I just don't necessarily know that I want to stack the Padres. The only reason you stack the Padres is you stack them for ownership leverage, but they're the worst offense in baseball right now. I think the thing that you look at is, you know, you look at Renfro with a 409 WOBA right now, batting 286, you know, but just not that many, not a huge sample size. And Will Myers, I think that's it. Maybe Renfro, Myers, and Margot. The problem is these guys strike out a lot and they haven't been producing very consistently. But I think for ownership leverage, Padres always offer you ownership leverage. And Patrick Corbin really doesn't scare me this year. So, and that's one lone wolf. I think the other lone wolves you look at are the power hitters. I mentioned this earlier, the power hitters in that Milwaukee St. Louis game. Eric Thames, the lefty, getting up against Carmo. If he gets a hold of one of those balls, man, it's going to go. And we know Thames has been hitting everybody. So it doesn't scare me that Carmo is the guy he's facing right now. And I think on the opposite side, Matt Carpenter, Zach Davies is not a great pitcher, and Carpenter, 385 WOBA and 250 ISO. I like it. You know, the other guy who hits for power in that lineup, interestingly enough, is a shortstop, Almeides Diaz. He hits righties really well. He's a reverse splits guy. So, you know, that's a cheap little 2-3 right there. 2-9 and 3K, Carpenter Diaz. I don't mind that at all, especially if you're going to try to get Syndergaard in there. I think that's a nice, cheap little 2-3, the St. Louis guys. Problem is, St. Louis offense, not a lot of upside there. So, those are my one-offs there. That's it, guys. Let's look at how we can build a lineup this evening. And figure out, you know, where we want to be a starting place. And again, I say this during basketball season, and maybe if you've forgotten it, then remember it, okay? This is a starting place. This is a construction idea. This is a way that you can start to build your own lineups, pivot, take the information that I've given you, and move off of it, move on to something else if you want to. But this is a starting place, of course. All right. Looking here, I think I want to try to get James Paxton in here. I like his situation. I like perhaps the ownership leverage that you're going to get with a lot of people going to Thor. I think that James Paxton is in a really good position. So let's get James Paxton in there. And then I want to get my Baltimore stack. So Chris Davis, very reasonably priced, great situation. And I'm going to pair him with Mark Trumbo. And you know, I think I'm also going to look at J.J. Hardy just because he's cheap and he may move up in the order tonight. You know, if he, especially if J.J. Hardy is back up, he was in the six hole a couple days ago. If he gets back into that six spot or in that seven spot, I would love to see him there. And he's just cheap. You know, I don't mind punting. I don't mind punting shortstop. And, you know, if I want to get a couple other high quality bats, which I do, then I don't mind getting Hardy in there also. And honestly, you could also go ahead and do some Wellington Castillo. So that's our Baltimore stack. You kind of have three through seven. You got Chris Davis, Mark Trumbo, J.J. Hardy, and Wellington Castillo. If they're all active based on the order, I think that that's a nice little Baltimore stack that you have there. All right. At second base, I like Robinson Cano here. I think he's going to come under-owned because of the price. And I think that, you know, he mashes right-handed pitching, and we don't know necessarily what this Valdez kid can do. So I like Cano in this spot. And I'm going to pair him with Mitch Haniger right above him in the order there. Haniger is just, he's cheap. He's 2-8 and he's hot. So give me Haniger, still not priced properly for a guy who's had 2 35 point outings and 4 home runs, 15 RBIs on the year. Just nope. He's not priced properly and he hits right-handed pitching very well. So give me Haniger. So give me the Cano Haniger stack, our pairing there. And then I've got a couple other random spots. I've got one outfield spot and my third base spot left. So for me, I think for third base, obviously, you know, I have a couple options, but I think the best one from a cost perspective is Mike Moustakas. Mike Moustakas in a good situation. I definitely want exposure to that, but I also have no problem going with if you want to get Machado in there, you could get another Baltimore bat. That leaves you with $3,400 in the outfield to, you know, maybe get Yasmani Tomas. So you could go Machado Tomas. You could also go with Kyle Seager if you want to get more exposure to Seattle. And then you could go Seager and Seager, Jay Bruce, he's hot, or Yasmani Tomas. But I think if you wanted to go get a couple of these one-offs that we talked about, then maybe you go, with, Adam Duvall. I like Adam Duvall tonight. He's 3-7. And then you have 3,500 left, and you can get yourself Mike Moustakas. So two guys in good batter situations there, nice ballpark situations and good matchups. Moustakas and Duvall, both with dinger upside, obviously both of those guys in a good position also. So, you know, don't mind those guys whatsoever. Now, if you wanted to go a little bit more expensive at pitcher, that makes a lot of sense to me. And so let's take a look at what a lineup might look like with Thor. All right, so if you get Thor in there, then I think you have to own this Kansas City stack because it's a little bit more cheaper. It still has upside. So we're going to stack up Sal Perez at catcher, Moustakas, Alex Gordon, and Brandon Moss. So there's our catcher, first base, third base, and Alex Gordon batting leadoff, cheap outfielder there. As well. So that's not a bad spot. That's going to leave me second base, shortstop, and two outfielders to fill. And I can go right back to Robinson Cano. And then I can actually fill in Taylor Motter and Mitch Haniger, Taylor Motter in that core of that Seattle lineup as well. And been playing really well and hits right-handed pitching well. And then you have $2,900 left for your last one-off outfielder. And so you look at a guy like, you can look at a guy like, I think you could look at Scott Schebler. He hasn't done much and it's a lefty-lefty situation. He probably gets shoved down in the order a little bit. If you want one more Seattle bat, maybe you get Jared Dyson in there batting leadoff. Or you get a nice one-off with some power upside. And to me, that looks like Hunter Renfro in this situation. You got a nice righty-lefty matchup here. He's at home. He has power upside. He's been cold lately, but we know the power is possible, and we know he hits lefties well. So maybe Renfro is a one-off, a low ownership there. And that's the Syndergaard lineup. Syndergaard, Sal Perez, Brandon Moss, Robinson Cano, Moustakas, Motter, Gordon, Haniger, Renfro. So, you know, the Seattle bats and the Kansas City bats are the primary ones we're looking at for salary relief. Of course, if you wanted to do, if you wanted to get off Moustakas, then that, you know, you could very easily do a, what is that? That Diaz Carpenter stack. That is pretty inexpensive as well. And then that leaves you, you need a third baseman for $3,000. You get the third baseman for $3,000 and maybe it's, Well, I mean, I guess you could go with Jed Yurko. You know, you get all the way through that St. Louis stack. So you have a little mini Kansas City stack, you have Sal Perez and Alex Gordon there. And then you have a St. Louis stack with, you know, Matt Carpenter, Almeidas Diaz, and Jed Yurko. The problem is, we know Jed Yurko has some upside. There's not much there, and he could very easily just show you that floor and get you nothing. I don't love Jed Yurko, man. He'd be at 3K, I'd much rather have like a Joey Gallo, for example, who we know he can hit lefties as a one-off, and he's been playing well, and he's at home, and he should be in the core of the order. So I don't mind, Joey Gallo, even though it is against Duffy. Those are the two kind of builds that we have here, guys. I think it's a 9K pitcher with maybe some of the Baltimore guys, and then it's Syndergaard with the Kansas City guys, and then you sprinkle in some of the other stacks that you like and some of the other pairings that you like. But that's that, take the ideas, see what you think, and good luck, guys. Good luck out there tonight. And, if you haven't subscribed to the podcast on iTunes, please do that. If you haven't written a review, please do that. If you want to subscribe to the cheat sheet, patreon.com/lineuplogic. We get you in the Slack channel. We get you in the Patreon. You get the cheat sheet over there every day, cranking out new stuff. So thank you for listening. And I will see you tomorrow.